Thanks for joining us for another episode of Changes, a series from Chief Healthcare Executive. As the name suggests, Changes features conversations examining some of the rapid changes in the healthcare industry. We have a great guest today. We're talking with Jeff Flax, the President and CEO of Hartford Healthcare in Connecticut. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Ron. My pleasure.
Well, there's so much to talk about, but I did want to talk about some recognition that Hartford received last year from the American Hospital Association, winning the 2025 Quest for Quality Award. Recognized for big strides in patient safety, just as a place to start, what were some of the keys to your success, and what are the keys to making some of those gains in patient safety that you've seen?
Yeah, first of all, I'm so grateful to our team. We have the best people, the most amazing people. 48,000 people come together every day. That's our purpose, right? That's why we exist in quality and safety, and caring for 28,000 people every day. It's our focus. So this recognition is a wonderful point of validation to recognize this journey we've been on, this high reliability journey that we've been on for a long, long time. And it's a moment in time to just acknowledge the incredible improvements around serious safety events, the incredible improvements we've had around providing better, safer, both measurable outcomes that are amongst the best in the world. So at Hartford Healthcare, Ron, we talk about being the best at getting better, right? Not about being the best, but about being an organization that's obsessed with continuous improvement. And this recognition from the American Hospital Association, it's a beautiful moment of validation for us and a great celebration for the state of Connecticut.
You mentioned that phrase, the best at getting better. That's a great phrase. Is that the secret sauce, you think, in terms of some of the improvements, some of the strides you've seen?
It is. Because remember, everything's about culture, right? A culture of alignment, a culture that's aligned around our core values, and a culture in our organization that really believes in this obsession with getting better, that our role is to be better tomorrow than we are today, both individually and collectively, to be better next year than we are this year. And the idea that the purpose of the organization, right, is to do the very best that we can, and then to recognize that we can keep improving. I think it's been crucial to our ability to continue to rise these levels of leapfrog scores and all the different ways that quality gets measured. So we're very proud. It makes an enormous difference. And we're working today to get better as we speak.
Well, obviously, it's always a challenging time in healthcare, but a lot of health systems facing more challenges than maybe usual at a time of rapid change. Just from your perspective, what are some of the big challenges that you're facing with Hartford?
Ron, first, you mentioned the fact that this is very challenging times, and undoubtedly the headwinds are significant today. In health systems, first of all, just by the nature of what we do, we're impacted by world events, by global events. So when the price of oil goes up, when the price of utilities go up, when commodity prices go up, all these types of things, impact health systems tremendously. So inflation, impacts health systems significantly. So the headwinds are not insignificant. And there are always headwinds, right? Sometimes more than other times. But Ron, what I want to mention to me, this is the best moment we've ever had in healthcare. And why I believe this is the best moment we've ever had, we've never been able to get better faster than we can right now. So the opportunity today to solve what have historically been intractable problems, those solutions are being created today, and they're being created more rapidly than ever before. So with AI, with machine-based learning, with all of the new tools that are available to us, what our people and people across America are able to do now is to make healthcare so much better. So I'm extremely optimistic, right, about the future of healthcare. And I recognize pragmatically the short-term challenges we have to work through. But what makes me excited is in all the years I've been doing this, I've never seen better, faster improvements than what we're seeing right now. And those are compounding on top of each other. So it's a great moment.
You mentioned AI. It's obviously a hot topic at every healthcare conference I've been to over the last couple of years. But Hartford Healthcare has just teamed with K Health on a new tool involving AI, a patient GPT. Talk about that AI health tool and what you hope it's going to do.
Yeah, so first of all, we're embracing AI. We embrace it in so many levels. It's ubiquitous, Ron, in so many ways, right? It's going across so many domains within Hartford Healthcare. But really, what we're also seeing today is how it's impacting the consumer, impacting the patient. And this example that you referenced, we just launched with K Health the ChatGPT function, which is really incredible. And it's effectively an AI agent that is embedded within our electronic health record. So it has our patients, all of their history, all of their data, all of their information, all of their, provider notes and so forth, and images and lab results embedded, so that when patients reach out 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to have this kind of consultation to get information from this AI related service that we've partnered with K Health on, it's amazing. And when a patient, by the way, through that process, determines that they need a visit, our capabilities now through this product allow 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, immediate transition into that virtual visit. And then, should that virtual visit require a bricks and mortar visit, that is also coordinated through this process. So this is about navigation. It's about personalized care and personalized data and information guiding that care. And it's about access, and empowering consumers and giving them the opportunity at any point in time to get and seek information, to get and seek care, and to have it very tightly coordinated. So this is a game changer, unquestionably.
You talked about navigation. That's something a lot of healthcare leaders are focusing on. So this can obviously help patients maybe get at least a virtual visit if they need it. Or is part of this also maybe nipping a visit in the bud that maybe doesn't need to take place? If maybe there's somebody who has a fever, they're not sure if they should come in, and maybe they get a little guidance says maybe this could wait a few minutes. I mean, is this obviously helping people get service they need, but maybe reducing the unnecessary ED visit? Is that part of it as well?
Unquestionably. So, Ron, we embedded with K Health HHC 24/7 1 year ago this month, April. So we built it in 2025. We've seen over 50,000 people, right, in this period of time. We're seeing 250 to 300 people a day. And it's amazing because it's tightly coordinated. It's embedded again in our EHR. It works in collaboration from a navigation standpoint with their bricks and mortar providers. Some people are electing to have full-time virtual primary care support, on these platforms, because it eliminates so many of the barriers to care, and it accelerates care. And Ron, we've seen solutions. So just a few examples, stay-at-home parents, right, who can't get into the office because they have their children with them and don't have childcare. Well, now they can get care at any point in time through our program. People who have chronic disease and have to frequently go in to routine visits within their offices no longer have to do that. And they could do that far less frequently because they do it now through this platform. Our rural communities, our urban communities, right, where there's less access in some instances to primary care, they now can get primary care real time. So, the implications of this and the advantages of it are so extensive, and it keeps getting, more advanced as time goes forward. We're applying it across now different specialties. So this is all about how to make healthcare more accessible to our consumers, how to make care more affordable, how to make it more equitable in terms of availability to everybody under all circumstances, and improve the structure and organization and quality of the care. So it's happening, and that's why I'm so excited about this moment and what's happening in healthcare today.
You've mentioned thousands of patients have used this already. I'm guessing the feedback has been encouraging, judging from your optimism about it.
Ron, it's off the charts, right? Because think about it, it's similar. People get their goods and services, right, delivered to their home through places like Amazon. They get their transportation through places like Uber. When was the last time somebody go, how many frequently do people go into banks today, to work with tellers? So frequently they do their banking, they do their travel through, through these different services. Healthcare is now adapting and doing the same thing. It doesn't replace the traditional and conventional services. It's additive to it, and it's complementary, but in our case, it's so tightly coordinated that it just makes it better. It enhances that level of care. So, satisfaction scores are off the charts.
Obviously, you've been taking a pretty considered approach to AI. Just wondering how you got buy-in from, say, doctors, nurses, folks that are concerned about patient safety, folks that are even concerned about the potential of AI in their minds possibly replacing jobs, which some folks would understandably really have a concern about. How do you get buy-in? How do you address those concerns from your clinicians?
First of all, innovation is in our DNA at Hartford HealthCare. It truly is, and we've historically been an organization that's been a leader, in medical advancement, medical discovery, research, clinical trials, and the like. So this is kind of an evolution of that in so many ways in terms of our culture. We speak at Hartford HealthCare all the time that we can't protect the status quo; we have to change it. because in healthcare today, we don't have the level of access we need. We can't accept, the level of increases of cost in healthcare. It must become more affordable. The inequities in healthcare, we have a mandate to change that. And the things that we aspire to be never events still happen. So, Ron, it really because your point about change management and getting people to embrace innovation and change, it really comes with this notion of people understanding the why it's so important, why it's necessary. So, in our organization, there's a deep understanding that we're working to disrupt the status quo. We're working to make healthcare better every day, to be the best at getting better. So, it's our culture. And look, when we fail forward. And we keep advancing and we learn from that as a learning organization. So, not everything is perfect. It's not a panacea. Not everything works perfectly, but people appreciate the intentionality on what we're working to do to make healthcare better. We embrace that. We own it. And we've had a lot of successes, fortunately, which also, stimulate better and more thinking and more passion around these improvements.
You mentioned failing forward, and I often hear healthcare leaders talk about failing fast. So I've even heard some folks saying, like, we're kind of moving away from the whole pilot project concept because if we're going to try something, we're going to try it full bore, and if it works in a year, great. If not, we're letting it go. So I'm just wondering, is pilot projects, is that still part of the approach, or have you really just moved that just more look into systems that can either work quickly or we fail forward, learn our lessons, and move on?
But first of all, we have a lot of discipline and a lot of rigor, which is so important. With respect to AI, governance is critical. So we established several years ago the Hartford Healthcare Institute for Artificial Intelligence, and that's very important because this is something that's very carefully overseen, carefully monitored, thoughtfully managed. So governance is really critical. And in some instances, right, we will move forward without a pilot. And in some instances, a pilot is really crucial. It's not a one answer to that question. You have to look at each situation specifically, which is why we have a broad multidisciplinary group who oversees this. But there are instances where the opportunity is so clear, or the risk in doing something, right? The risks are not significant that it's worth moving faster. And then there's some instances where you have to just be so attentive, so careful, because of the implications of what you're doing, that going slower actually is both smarter and in some instances faster because you do it right the first time. So, we work on this all the time, and that there's a tension around speed, but also being extremely attentive from a compliance standpoint, regulatory standpoint, and safety standpoint above all.
You mentioned governance being key. Not the sexiest topic. It's not a clickbait topic for sure, but everybody I talk to in healthcare, when you talk about AI, it's one of the first things they mention that's something that you really can't skip over. That's really the key to success in a lot of this. Is that some of your perspective as well?
Unquestionably, you have to, every system achieves what it's designed to do. So you have to set it up properly on the front end to get the outcome you're looking for on the back end. So that intake process, that oversight, the methodologies that we have to have in place, the research that we have to do in terms of validation and so forth is really, really important. And I have just gratitude to our team because we've got incredible people who work in that space. And they're increasingly getting better in terms of becoming more expert because we get more experience in doing this. But the front end is essential to our success.
You also mentioned the why, and obviously talking about patient safety and providing more equitable care. But as part of the why, when you get in doctors' notice and board in terms of their own benefits, like taking some burdens off them or being able to use more of their brain to really serve patients, is that part of the why? Explaining how this is going to help the doctors and nurses as well?
Ron, it's interesting. When we look back historically at new advances in healthcare technology, in most instances, it made healthcare more bureaucratic, often more expensive, and it negatively impacted the day-to-day experience of our caregivers. Now, it still was the right thing to do, and it still generally, again, was that natural evolution and progression to making healthcare better, but it had a negative impact on people's experiences. Today, it's completely different. That's what's so special about this moment. Is the types of innovations that are going forward today are actually enhancing the experience of our caregivers. It allows them to work at the highest level of their license. It allows them to work to do what they're trained to do, to care for people and to do it at the highest levels. I mean, there's examples like when we implemented a bridge here, which is agentic AI and what it's been able to do in terms of eliminating all the data entry processes, in our primary care offices. The people who the physicians love it, the medical assistants and the other people in our offices love it, makes their work better, and the patients love it. And these are win-win-win scenarios. ADOC, which we're using in imaging today, same idea, same type of impact. I mean, the way we use the front end of K-Health, in terms of how it helps work up, the initial information to accelerate care for our providers and give them the right information at the point of service. So there's so many examples, and that's what makes this moment different. The type of things we're implementing today make our caregivers' lives easier and better and enhance quality and safety. And the consumer likes it because it makes their experience better. And it's a unique moment.
Well, you mentioned equity a couple of times. I did want to ask about a lot of hospitals are worried about, more challenges with equity, some of the cuts in Medicaid that are coming in the next few years. Some are still coming down the road, but they are coming. From your perspective, what are some of these changes in Medicaid going to do for Heart for Health in terms of a at hurt maybe potentially hurting access to patients? How are you dealing with some of these cuts in Medicaid and the likelihood you're going to see a lot more uninsured patients in the near future?
Yeah, to your latter point, let me start there. First of all, we care for all people under all circumstances. So we're not going to care for less people. We're going to care for the same number of people. My feeling is the risk if people are without insurance is you're going to care for people later in the process who didn't have preventive care, who didn't have the level of care they needed. So they present sicker, with greater risk, which is so unfortunate. So we have to figure out ways, to augment that. And we have so many different mechanisms to reach into our communities to do that. We have a major street medicine program here. We have significant opportunities that we put in place to connect with all of our community organizations so that no person and no community gets left behind. And we're working closely with the state of Connecticut, to try to address these issues from an advocacy standpoint. So that the state also is helping contribute to addressing these matters. So we have to be here to care for all people, and we have to do it to the very best of our ability. And it's going to require us to do some to do things differently in some instances, but it doesn't change the mission by any means.
Are there any concerns that you might have to scale back some types of services to make sure that you're providing the critical services that only you can provide?
At this point, we're not anticipating scaling back services. Again, maybe doing things differently. And the examples of that is we've built this neighborhood health program. And again, it goes to homeless shelters routinely. It goes to community centers, to barbershops, to churches. It goes to all these different types of locations. And it's a way to ensure that we're not going to lose people in this process, that we can intervene earlier. That we can, manage medication management, medication compliance, these types of things. So it's going to actually require new approaches and maybe approaches that have to get expanded in this process if eligibility changes. So we're going to have to look at it very carefully, and we're anticipating it as we speak.
A lot of hospital leaders worried about the expiration of the Affordable Care Act tax credits. I know it hasn't been that long. They expired at the end of last year, but have you seen any impact in terms of any upticks in some folks that don't have coverage that maybe had coverage before, or any impacts you're starting to see yet, or is it too soon to say?
Early. I think it's for us, it's a bit early. We're certainly looking out for that, but not at this juncture.
Well, I'm curious because you've expanded so much in recent years. I mean, Hartford HealthCare is really now across Connecticut and serving communities across the state. So, do you see potential for more growth, or with some of these other financial headwinds that might be coming, this has maybe put maybe the brakes a little bit, and maybe some expansion you might like to do? What do you see forward as you've grown a lot and potentially could grow some more? What do you see forward?
Yeah, I don't look at it as growth as you might describe in the traditional sense. I view it more as how do we make healthcare better? And to me, the way we're working to make it better is we're improving access, we're ensuring affordability. So if we can deliver care with the highest level of quality patient experience, but to do it in the least, costly settings, if we're able to deliver care, differently, that's what the goal is. So the notion of why we created products like we did with K-Health for 24/7. Right, that's the most cost-effective way to deliver care. It's the most accessible way to deliver care. So for us, in many ways, when I think about growth, it's actually about trying to making healthcare better, more accessible, more affordable, more equitable, and higher quality. So, right now we have many pieces in place. How do we optimize those pieces to make Hartford HealthCare the most consumer-centric health system in America? Ron, that's the goal. We really think that we have an opportunity to uplift healthcare in Connecticut, but actually across the country, because we're a great example of a system that's urban, rural, academic, teaching, suburban. We have the largest behavioral health network, the largest home care network, the largest rehabilitation network. We have all the pieces. But how do we put these together that it makes healthcare inherently better so that you can demonstrate better outcomes from a quality standpoint, better from an affordability standpoint, that you can reduce the total cost of care for the people we care for, and dramatically improve access, right? I mean, the frustration for people across America, it can't take 10 months to get a physical, right? It can't take 4 months to, from a suspicion of a concern to get a confirmed diagnosis, right? We have to be better than that. And we're working to do that every day. So I don't view growth in the sense of, traditional growth. I view growth as, how do we make healthcare better and how do we use all of these resources that are available to us, including these emerging technologies, that we can demonstrate better outcomes. And that's what it's about.
You mentioned the goal of being the most consumer-centric organization. What are the keys in your mind to making it to that goal? I know you've been talking about access already, making it easier, but what are the other keys to really being as consumer-centric as you want to be?
Well, one is navigation, right? People can't be left alone. It's so intimidating for people when they enter a healthcare system. And we shouldn't rely on people to self-advocate for themselves. We have to have better systems. It's why, like, the product that we just talked about is so important. Our product we built with K-Health around, now having this AI agentic support for people 24/7, right? No one should ever feel left alone, and they should never feel unsupported. But we also have to move from a sick care system to a healthcare system, and a system that's providing prevention, wellness, early detection, coordination, home care related services differently than what we've done historically, with wearables and measurement devices and home monitoring. So that's what makes this moment so special. These things shouldn't be looked at transactionally or episodically, but as we talk about consumerism, it becomes a relationship. And what people want is relationship, and they want to have trust, and they want to have loyalty. They want to have a health system that's not simply there to care for you in that moment where you're sick, injured, or your health becomes compromised, but is there for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, anticipating your needs, supporting you on your health journey through good times and bad, and working for you, period, right? Always. And that's what we're creating. And that, it's a journey and we're getting better every day. And Ron, I always describe, I'm a huge believer in the ecosystem that Apple has created, right? Where each product individually is good, but collectively they're better. The Apple iPhone version one wasn't an enormous success, right? People were looking for the keyboard. We're now at version 18, which is extraordinary, but version 25 will be tremendously better than version 18. That's how we have to look at where we are in healthcare, right? It's not about perfection. It's about getting better every day. And that's why I describe, we have to be the best at getting better because it's about improvements. And it's about sometimes breakthrough improvements. Some days it's incremental improvements, but it's about progress. And we need to continuously make progress and do it as fast as we can.
Well, it's just interesting. We've talked a lot about AI, but you also just highlight the importance of that relationship the patients are seeking. So, is this using technology as a tool to help foster that human connection rather than get away from it?
Yeah, look, I always describe AI, it needs to make healthcare more human. And it can. I mean, we see it. I mean, if you look at what happens in our primary care offices, like a bridge has tremendously made healthcare more human. There's so many good examples of this. So technology is an important tool and it's an enabler, but healthcare is a people business, right? And healthcare is the ultimate team sport. So we're never going to lose the importance of this is about people taking care of people. It's about people caring for people in their moments of greatest vulnerability. And it's about people, serving our communities. So although I'm a huge advocate for the way AI, we've seen some examples where we're using it now to support our scheduling processes where, we had nurses doing that work. They'd spend 90 hours a month doing it. Today, it can take seconds through an AI platform we developed. But the benefit, Ron, now for those nurses is they're now doing teaching, coaching, mentoring. They're on the floor. They're working in the emergency department doing proctorships and so forth, making healthcare better and doing the work that's most important.
Does that also help in terms of maintaining the well-being of the nurses and the doctors, for that matter, using some of these tools to kind of make them feel like they're supported and less burned out with some of the documentation headaches they've struggled with for so long?
It's early, but I absolutely think from my experience, my assessment, the answer will prove over time to be a definitive yes. And we need to do that. We need to do that. I mean, over time, it became so burdensome, so administrative, so bureaucratic, in some instances necessary. I'm not disputing the necessity of some of that work that was done, but it's not work that should be done and ought to be done, by nurses. We need to figure out better ways to support our nurses, to use these types of approaches to allow them to do the work that's most important and that they're trained to do that's best. And that applies to so many of our disciplines, across the healthcare system. So I'm optimistic over time this will prove itself out. But in these early days, we are seeing some proof points.
We always like to ask healthcare leaders in our conversations about lessons in leadership they've learned that might be useful to other healthcare leaders. So, what are some key lessons you've learned along the way that might be a benefit to other healthcare leaders?
Look, being present, right? We've got to be present. I always say my job is right here. It's being with our people. And we have 48,000 people who work here. We've got to try to communicate every day, any way that we can, to reach and touch and listen to as many people as we possibly can, to be as deeply embedded in our communities as we possibly can. Because fundamentally, that's why we exist. That's our, and look, the chief executive officer has to be the chief quality and safety officer, right? They have to be also, the chief talent officer. So they've got to be the people who drive the quality and safety agenda of the organization and look in the mirror and hold us accountable to that at a personal level. And they also have to be the people who put the team on the field and ensure that the culture of the organization is being nurtured constantly. Culture is everything in healthcare. This is, as I said, the ultimate team sport. And cultures aren't static. They move at any point in time, and they're informed by environmental factors around us that are outside of our control. So leadership has to be present, deeply engaged, and it's personal. So, Ron, today is my 22nd year anniversary of being in Hartford Healthcare. So, this is a special day to me personally. My gratitude to this organization, this community, this state. I'm so blessed to be here. So it's a really important kind of moment for me to reflect on 22 years of being part of this incredible place and working with the most amazing people.
Can you imagine 22 years ago some of the tools available now with AI and some of the other technologies they're using? I mean, it's got to be so much different now than it was early in the 21st century when you started.
I'm going to give you the greatest example. So when I joined, because I happened to mention this yesterday at a leadership forum I was speaking to our newest colleagues, our Greater Manchester region, I said tomorrow's my 22nd year anniversary. And when I joined, we had two hospitals in Hartford Healthcare. We had Mid-State Medical Center, which is in the middle of the state, and Hartford Hospital. And the two hospitals basically worked within a holding company, but had really no direct re benefit or relationship for the patients. So at the time, I put together a work group and I said, there ought to be a benefit for our patients who need higher levels of care, who transfer out of Mid-State, that if they happen to go to the Hartford Hospital, which is an amazing institution, that it ought to mean that we have better care. So we got together and we started talking about ways that we could align around clinical protocols. And one of the things we realized was every patient who presented at Mid-State was getting imaging and getting labs and a significant workup. And then when they went to Hartford, they were getting the entire redundant experience because the systems at those days didn't talk to each other. The PACS systems couldn't share information and data. There weren't EHRs like there are today. So what we did was we convinced the team at Hartford that they would accept the imaging from Mid-State and they would agree to the labs and the protocols. So what we did was we took a CD, if you remember what a CD was, and we burned a CD. Which became like technologically, it was a feat because the CD could hold that level of data. We put it under Saran wrap. We wrapped it around the patient's leg, around the groin of the leg, with a chain of custody with a Sharpie that would write, over on the Saran wrap. And we put underneath the Saran wrap the paper record with the other results in it. And that was the beginning of the coordination that allowed the patient to get accelerated care at Hartford. They didn't have to get the same imaging. They didn't have to get the same results. And it actually made healthcare better when you stayed within a system of care. Could you imagine, by the way, that wasn't that long ago. That was considered an absolute breakthrough in the moment to make healthcare better. And imagine today. What we're doing today is extraordinary. And that's why I say, sometimes, it's harder to see the progress, but over just a brief period of time, the progress is immense. And it's why, despite the significant challenges with healthcare, and there are challenges and just issues around access, affordability, quality, we're so much better today. I mean, Ron, our serious safety events since 2016, right, are down over 75%. Our infections, are down over 80 to 90% at this point when you think about hospital-acquired infections. So the data is really compelling. I mean, it really is.
Well, obviously, a lot of exciting changes, and makes me think what it's going to look like 5 years from now at Hartford HealthCare too, with some of the changes we're already seeing and how rapidly things are changing. Well, hey, we've been talking with Jeff Flax of Hartford HealthCare. Thanks so much for taking the time. It's been a great conversation. Really appreciate you joining us from Changes.
My pleasure, Ron. Thank you for everything you do to, bring attention, because we've got to share information across the country. I mean, this is a collaborative. Everyone should be working together in partnership, and we learn from others every day, and we're grateful for people like you help bring this information forward. So thank you.
Okay. I'm Ron Southwick for Chief Healthcare Executive. Thanks for joining us. Take care.